be, but I'll tell you this one story. Because this is probably one of the first it is the first time it's ever happened to me. But anyhow, so over there on my neighbor's property, because I figured that's where the turkey were hanging out because they wasn't over here on us, I went over there and there's this one ridge. And in years past, they always gobble on that ridge. And he had seen a couple in the afternoon kind of cross the valley and go up on that ridge. So I thought, well, you know, the only thing I can do is just go set up on that ridge. And if I hear something, great. But if I don't hear anything, then I'll just stay there and do some calling, you know, about every 15 or 20 minutes. And so anyway, I got up there that morning and I slipped in there and I got in there well before daylight. And so I parked down at the end of the valley. And the trail goes up, and I'd already kind of made a spot up there on top of the ridge, kind of cleared out a spot underneath the tree, you know, to sit on. So I was just going to slip in there real quiet because who knows, you know, if one of them come in there and roosted the afternoon before, I wouldn't have known it. But anyway, so I'm slipping up this. I get there, and of course, I don't turn on any headlights or anything like that. So I'm kind of making my way up the trail up there to where I get to the tree. And so I'm just kind of being real careful and walking real slow. And dude, I walked right up on, first thing that happened was I walked right up on an armadillo. That thing like scared me to death. I mean, if you ever snuck up on an armadillo, the first thing they do is jump. You wouldn't think those things could jump. That thing jumped. I mean, it was like dribbling a basketball. He jumped about 4 foot high and scared me and him. And I about threw my gun sideways. And of course he hit, you know, when he jumped and hit the ground, he took off running. And I was like, well, I might as well just walk right through the leaves, you know, with all that racket. But anyhow, so I regained my composure. I made my way in there. And by the time I was going so slow and slipping in there and watching the trees to make sure I didn't see any turkeys in the trees, you know. And so I'm slipping in there and I get to my spot. And at this time, it's just breaking daylight, you know. So you can see the images of the trees and you can see certain things, but that's about all you can see. And so I didn't want to carry a bunch of, and normally, you know, sometimes I hunt with decoys and sometimes I don't, but I've got this one set of decoys that are real easy and they blow up. They're like balloons of turkey, you know? And so you just kind of blow it up. And so I just took the one that I really prefer, and it's just kind of this standing hen. So I get in there, put my gun down, and I carried a little seat because I was going to sit there for a while that morning. So I put my seat up and then I walk out about, I don't know, probably 20 yards in front of me. And actually that's what I was trying to get to, was 20 yards in front of me, but it ended up being a lot closer than what I thought. But anyhow, I get down there and I blow this turkey up, right? And it's one of my favorite decoys because it's just so easy to pack. And I've killed a lot of turkey over this one particular decoy. So I put the stake in the ground, I blow up the decoy and I set it on there and I come back and I sit down. And so at this time, it's getting a little more daylight, but they wouldn't have flew down off the roost yet. So I'm being real still, and I look over to my left, and I've probably been sitting down probably only about 3 minutes. So I look over to my left, and then I hear something on this side of me in the leaves. But I know it's, you know, it's kind of one of those deals. In my mind, I know it's not a turkey because they wouldn't have flew down off the roost yet. And at the same time, I'm kind of easing my head over, you know, trying to figure out maybe what it is. I see this flash of movement, and then it registered about the time this huge coyote, and he come from the direction I just walked in on. This huge coyote comes in and attacks that decoy. I mean, but the funniest thing about it was when he jumped on the, and it's all happening in a matter of 2 seconds, you know. And so the funniest thing, though, when he jumped on that decoy and attacked it, that thing went and popped real loud. And so it kind of scared me and scared him. He jumped straight up, but I did get a shot off on him, you know, as he took off running. First time I have ever had a cow attack. You know, I've called them in, but the first time I've ever had them attack a decoy, but poor old Henny Penny, man. I mean, it just blew her up. And of course, when he jumped on her and took a bite out of her, and I told Yolanda, I said, can you imagine what was going through that coyote's mind, you know, as he was creeping up on that decoy? Yeah, he was probably thinking, man, I am good. You know what I mean? I am getting so close to this
breakfast
thing. Yeah, breakfast. He jumps on there, and then he hits it, and it pops, and he takes off running. I did get him. I was fast enough to get swung around and to clip him, but the first time I've ever had that happen, And of course, there goes my favorite decoy. I come back and, you know, duct tape fixes everything, right? So I put some duct tape on her and kind of painted it black, but hopefully, you know,
she'll hold air now,
but who knows?
Till Wiley comes back around.
But I'm telling you what, and that's, you know, that's, but now here we are, we're kind of at the end of hunting season now.
Well, you said you didn't have to hunt them like deer, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's fun to hunt deer, you know?
No, I remember
the first time I took Brock hunting. He was about 10 years old.
Yeah.
And we had had this place about, I think, 4 or 5 years by then, and I finally found the spot where the deer came through at, and if there was ever, a place where we were going to get a good shot for him, that was it. And we actually had converted an old bus into a camper.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time it worked really good, but this night it turned off brutally cold.
Yeah.
And we were already freezing in the camper. Yeah. And Monica went, and Brody, he was a lot younger then, but Brock was 10.
Yeah.
And I had a little slug shotgun for him. And I felt pretty sure we could probably get a shot off, but since it was so cold,
yeah,
I just waited as long as I could wait to go out there. So it was daylight before we were going out there, because I knew he wasn't going to last long.
Yeah.
And we got to the stand and climbed up in it. And, I mean, we didn't hardly get set down. And I saw movement back over this way it was coming, and it was a doe coming through the woods, which, I mean, I grew up hunting. I hardly ever got to see a deer. So,
oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
he was just excited for that.
Yeah.
So. It came and it just walked in front of us, and as we were watching the doe go off, caught more movement and looked over here, and it was a buck, a nice one coming through.
Yeah.
But it was just out of range for his shotgun. I hated that for him, but my rifle reached it. But ended up shooting. It was a nice 8-point with a drop tine on. I said, "Son, I'll get this one."
I'll get this one. You just hang loose there, man. You're going to reach. Yeah. So let me take this one.
So I shot it. And it ran straight to the stand and fell down right beside the ladder of the stand. This has all happened within about 3 minutes of us sitting down.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of like, wow, I ain't believing this happened. Of course, he was excited for that anyway.
Yeah.
But I said, all right. I said, we'll sit here as long as we can.
Yeah.
And I said, anything else that comes through, you know, we'll just let you shoot at it.
Yeah.
And I didn't get those words out of my mouth, and we saw more movement.
Yeah.
And here comes a 6-point, and it's following the same place as that doe. And all of a sudden, he saw this deer laying down by the stand, so he started easing this way.
Really?
Came right in front of the stand. He shot it. They fell within about 50 yards of each other.
Oh,
and
you're
so
kidding.
I pulled the four-wheeler up, loaded them up, loaded the 6-point on the front, the 8-point, actually it's a 9-point on the back.
Yeah.
And drove back to the camper. Within 15 minutes of when we left,
something.
And we walked in, and Monica said, "Y'all just got too cold, didn't you?" I said, "No, we're done.
We're done."
She said,
it's
"What?"
Crazy.
I said, "We got 2 bucks sitting on the floor." She said, "No, you know." I said, "Look out the window." She said, "Oh my goodness."
Yeah.
But the bad thing is, he expected all the hunts to go from then
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
that
oh, was just ruined right
that
there.
That was a dream
there.
Hunt that I've never experienced since then.
Oh no.
But
there's those moments, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's those moments when it comes to... And that's what's exciting about every hunting season. When you get to the end of hunting season, there's always these stories to tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's always good stories. And I'm telling you, that's exciting, because I've had times like that. I remember taking Hunter one time when he was young. And, of course, he was too young to carry a shotgun. I think I'd only been about 6. There is nothing like sitting around at the end of a hunting season and swapping stories, is there? You know what? They say a hunter or a fisherman are some of the greatest storytellers, and you know what? I believe it. I think it's because we realize every little detail matters when sharing about your big catch or your giant buck you just took down. You want people to see what you saw, feel what you felt, and, you know, really be in the moment and experience the excitement. It can be the smallest things like the temperature, or the ground wet with dew, where the sun was in the sky, or the smells or sounds that filled the air that helped someone get the true feel for the hunt. You know, when I tell a hunting or a fishing story, I include all of it. Just ask my wife. I'm sure she's heard my stories at least 100 times, but to a hunter, it never gets old. You know, there's one story worth sharing above all others. To a believer, it should never get old. It's the story with suspense, danger, death, love, heroic battles, and underdog winning. It's a story that has been passed down from generation to generation. And the tiniest details of the story are the most important parts. Each piece is woven together to paint this beautiful picture. When you come to the end of the story, it's not just a story anymore. It's life-changing. You know what? It's the story of Jesus. Every little detail about His birth, life, and death are vital to understanding why He is so important, how He could save us from our sins, and that it means for our life today and what it means for our future. He wasn't just a baby born on Christmas. He is the very Son of God who came to this earth sinless, perfect, and willing to give His life for us. We have all sinned against God. This means we have disobeyed Him, doesn't it? The punishment for that sin is death, which is eternal separation from God. Left to ourselves, we would all face that death. But because of God's rich mercy, He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for us. He gave His life on the cross as a substitute for us. He paid that debt we owed. He died, was buried, and then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead just as He said He would. He gave it all for us. You might be thinking, there is no way God would do that for me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the wrong things that I've committed. You know, He could never love someone like me. That may be what you're thinking, but in Romans 5 and 8, it tells us, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He offers you a gift of salvation, a life spent with Him in eternity, and all you have to do is surrender. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it's not just a story. It's truth that changes you from the inside out, just like it did for me. And once that happens, you'll never be the same. Your life becomes fully surrendered to God and to His will. We learn about what He wants for us and how to follow Him by doing what? By studying His Word, the Bible. That's where you find all the details to the best story ever told. And now it's your turn to share the story. Share about Jesus He has changed your life. Share all the details, and I promise it will never get old. If you'd like to see more videos like these, check out lifeword.org or follow LifeWord on social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Hey, I'm Sean Merrill, and I'll see you next time swapping stories about the great outdoors.
When I finally got him in the boat, barely fitting my net, I'm telling you, that dude was a big one.
How big was he?
Why, dude, he was at least from here to here. No. I'm pretty sure he was from here to here. I mean, he is a big one. Maybe even bigger than that.